Jajan and I wanted to talk about the Good Shepherd. Okay, so the Good Shepherd is the title for what we wanted to put out there. And so I need to start with a question. It might sound like a weird question or, you know, but just hang with me. The question is, what is a shepherd, or how would you define a shepherd? Okay, without looking it up, without going to Google or whatever electronic dictionaries, just, you know, what would you define as, how would you define a shepherd? And there's no right or wrong answer. Well, there's no wrong answer.
Someone who looks after his flock.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Someone who takes care of his flock.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, and someone who would leave the other flock to go, and if one of them left, to go and find him and bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure he was all right.
Okay. I love these definitions.
Someone who provides for their flock.
All right. Okay. Someone who provides for their flock. Wonderful. One more. Do we have one more?
And protect.
Protect. Yep. Protects. Yep.
All right. Someone who protects. Oh, wonderful. So I went to the dictionary. I love what all of you guys have put forward. I went to the dictionary, and one of the definitions that I found there was a person who tends and rears sheep. All right, which is pretty much what all of you have said. And so I then went to, okay, what does it mean to tend? And what does it mean to rear? So to tend is to care for or look after or give one's attention to. And then rear, to rear is to bring up, to raise, to care for. For example, a parent, a parent raises their child, or depending on the family setup, it could be a grandparent who does that, or an elder sibling, or a guardian. But it all has to do with nurturing. And so just like all of you have said, that's what it means to be a shepherd. And so in the church, when we're talking about, shepherds, we're obviously not talking about like sheep, as in, we're talking about human beings, living, breathing, needy women and men. All right, I'll just ask us to mute during the course of the lesson, just to avoid background noise. But you see, in church, when we talk about shepherds and sheep, we're talking about leaders and the human beings they lead. Therefore, what we're saying, that a leader as a shepherd cares for other disciples, looks after other disciples, gives their attention to other disciples, and nurtures the disciples in their care. And so we're talking about the Good Shepherd tonight. So I'll bring the slides back up. In John 10, 14 and 15, so I've put it up here. Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." And I'm sure we'll all agree that Jesus is amazing at many things. And among them, the awesome things that he is the Good Shepherd. And as we are called to be like Jesus, then, I'd like to encourage us to aim to be good shepherds in our leadership. And so it's not enough to simply be a leader or to have a leadership title or to have leadership ambition or to even have leadership skills. We are called to be good shepherds. So Jajan and I would like to present four qualities of a good shepherd tonight. And so the first of these four qualities is consistency. Okay, so one quality of a good shepherd is consistency. So let's go back to Jesus and back to John 10, where he said that he is the good shepherd. So in John 10, verse 17, Jesus says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again." Now, personally, for me, what I understand by this, when Jesus says he lays down his life and then takes it up again, my understanding is Jesus is saying that he empties himself. He pours himself out for the disciples. And then in taking his life back up again, is, you know, he refuels and takes care of himself. Then he empties himself all over again for the people, for the disciples, serving them selflessly. Then he takes it up. So he refuels and takes care of himself, and the cycle continues. Jesus is consistent in being there for the sheep and in looking after himself as well. And we find that we see this continually with Jesus. For example, after a full day of teaching and healing and being with the crowds, we see Jesus going up to the mountainside all on his own for some me time. We all need me time. When we find Jesus and he meets the disciples out on the boat, remember when there was the rocky seas and, you know, Peter eventually walked on water? Jesus wasn't in the boat. He was off on his own having some me time. He was off recharging and taking care of himself before coming back to be with the disciples. And so we find that Jesus is consistent, both in looking after the sheep, who are humans, and in taking care of himself. And so I'd like to just put it before you that as leaders, consistency is important. And without consistency, what can easily happen is that we serve the people that we're leading only when everything feels good. Only when everything, like, you know, seems to be lined up exactly the way we want it to be, then and only then do we serve the people in our care. And that would make us inconsistent. Now, it's hard to be there for people when we ourselves need someone to be there for us. And it's hard to encourage others when we ourselves are feeling discouraged. That's normal and that's understandable because we all have tough times. And Jason talked about that on Tuesday, discouragements, disappointments. All of us face that. We not only serve others to meet their needs, but we also have needs. Therefore, the importance for being consistent, both in serving those we lead, but also really taking care and taking the time to look after ourselves. Are we together? So why is consistency in shepherding important? Well, think about this. The people that we lead consistently have needs. So their needs are consistent. So therefore, it's important that we are consistent in being there to meet those needs. So for example, let's say somebody who I disciple is not feeling good. They're really down and discouraged because their cat is sick. Then their cat gets better. Like, amen. But that does not mean they are now need-free, because there'll be something else around the corner. Something else will come up where they need support or guidance or encouragement or advice or feedback or simply a listening ear. It could be something happening at work. It could be something going on in church. It could be an issue to do with their fellowship. It could be, you know, anything to do with the pandemic and just all the different things that we are all facing. It could be any matter of things. It could be a health issue. Their needs are consistent. So as leaders, we need to be there for them consistently. Another reason that we need to be consistent then in looking after ourselves is that our own needs are ever present. If it's not one thing, it's another. I know that's true of me. Work might be giving me a headache. My head might be giving me a headache. I might be giving my wife a headache. I mean, if it's not one thing, it's another. And so that's why it's so important that we are consistent, not only in serving others, but also in looking after ourselves. Self-care is crucial.
To he who has been given much, much is expected. So for us as leaders, much will always be expected from us. And again, I just want to thank you all for making the time. I know we have busy schedules. It's a Friday evening, so we really appreciate that you can make the time to be here tonight. You know, we are also aware that to love others, we must love ourselves first. And you know, the question I really want us to ask ourselves is, do we really practice this? Is this something we think about? Is this something that is constantly in our minds, in our hearts. And at this level, I know that we know to take care of ourselves spiritually, just like we saw Jesus, you know, had me time when he connected with, you know, God. You know, but the question is, how about emotionally? How are you doing emotionally? And how are you doing physically? You know, exercise is of some value. What about your mental state? How are you doing in those areas of your life? You know, I was studying about controlling my emotions, and it took me to those different areas of my life. And, you know, it was interesting because I was expecting something else. You know, but I think of, you know, the Murdochs as very good examples. I know they have very busy schedules. And, you know, like when they would have the teen camps and all, you know, I would see Sari making sure that they take vacations. I even learned about the staycation, you know, from Sari. So I feel like she's very good at pacing herself out. And, you know, somebody like Russ is constantly working on his exercises and he has goals. I mean, even over this time over COVID, I know he hit some goal with his weight, which is great. And then even amongst us, and sisters, don't take it badly because, you know, I might just be able to mention one or two, but I think of Sandra. Sandra is somebody who I feel like she's very careful to make sure that, you know, when she needs it, she makes it happen with her me time and her vacation time. You know, and the thing I need us to think about is, where do you find yourself? You know, how are you feeling? There are some words that should actually trigger and get us to start thinking that maybe we are not meeting the needs in certain areas of our lives. For example, if you're feeling overwhelmed, or maybe, you know, the term now is zoomed out. Are you feeling zoomed out? Are you feeling stressed? You know, and the list continues. So basically, if you're feeling these things, you will not be able to pour yourself out and then be able to give to those you lead, which is what we see the Good Shepherd is able to do. So the question I'd like to leave us with is, today, are you feeding yourself really and spiritually spending time with God? I think most of us are there already. But the other thing is, are you surrounded by that circle of friends? We need that circle of friends with whom we can be very honest, with whom you can vent and just be yourself, who can point out and notice some of these things and help you out with them. You know, are you in touch with your emotions? Are you in touch with your mental state? And then if you are you honest enough to take the steps needed to change that situation, to rejuvenate yourself so that you're able to give to those you lead? And, you know, for me, you know, most of you know this, in September, you know, I went through just such a hard time after finding out about my brother, and school was starting and I was behind and I was just feeling very, very overwhelmed. And so I know that just the people around me, and I thank you so much for that, were able to just share and encourage me, you know. But when it got to a point when I felt like, wow, even the communication at home is not working, you know, Rayola and I decided to go in for therapy. So we've got to be ready to do whatever we need to get ourselves where we can be able to pick ourselves up and lead those whom we take care of.
Amen. For counseling and therapy.
Yes.
So amen.
Much is expected of us.
Yes. Amen. And so, yeah, the point here is being consistent, both in serving those we lead and in taking care of ourselves. I'd like us to consider, as we move to the next point, a few scriptures. Or rather, to consider Paul's heart in these scriptures. Listen and consider what you feel from Paul's heart. And they're all from 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Paul writes, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, we loved you so much. He writes, we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time in person, not in thought. You are our glory, our hope, our joy. We long to see you. We boast about your perseverance and faith and all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. What I hear affection. That's what I hear. I hear just, you know, talking about being like a nursing mother, longing for them, boasting about them. And so this is the second of the qualities that we'd like to communicate tonight of a good shepherd: affection. And this goes beyond simply doing what you're supposed to do because you're supposed to do it. And of course, there are things that we've got to do. I mean, if we're leaders, hey, there are responsibilities, you know, there are expectations. But, you know, with affection, we're talking about enjoying the people that we lead, relishing them, cherishing them, feeling proud of them. And even as we go through these qualities, this is a lesson for Georgiana and myself as much as for everyone else. We're not teaching this because we've mastered it. We're teaching it because we are trying to get there. And we're sharing the same with you so we can all take the same journey together. Does this describe how you feel about those you lead? Is there an affection in your heart for them?
Okay, we all respond and warm up to affection. You know, there's a brother, and I like it when this brother, you know, asks, how are you doing, my beautiful sister? It's just very affectionate. It's just very warm. So that's something that we respond to. Now, the Bible also does say that we need to speak to each other with psalms, and I think even songs. I think about it, and I think it just sounds so beautiful. But even when we look at what Paul shared here, you can feel through his words, the longing, the desire. I mean, and it, in other passages, he even talks about how, you know, he shared the gospel and his life with the Thessalonians because he loved them so much. So there's so much love and affection when Paul writes about the people that he led in the different churches. So I think we need to think about that. When you think about the people that you lead, how do you feel towards them? Granted, people are very different. And even in our groups, we're going to have very different types of people. And with some, we connect more naturally. But there are others whom, you know, it's not as natural. And I'm thinking of what John shared the other day. I really liked it. Basically, when he said, we are all trying to get to the same place. Let's say LA. But some of us are coming from New York. Some of us are coming from Pennsylvania. So it means we're just going to take different times getting to that place. And I think we can apply this even when we think about what it takes to connect with the people that we work with in our different life teams. And so I think for you to be able to get to a point where you're feeling affectionate, you've really got to be able to get into the lives of the people you lead. And I mean outside of you know, the life team activities. You've got to make time. And we've got to be very, very intentional. Have you identified the people for whom you feel maybe the connection is not great? And those are the people I would suggest start there with those whom you feel this, I don't feel like we really click. Start with the difficult ones. You know, and I think it was also Jason who was giving us an example of basically how he was feeling out of it at the function. And then, you know, he decided to reach out. I'm a bit mixed up between Jason and John. You know, but then he went and talked to that person, to the campus people, talked to one person, felt the connection, and sent that person out to talk to others. So I don't know what you thought about that example, but I really, really liked it. However, I just feel we need to be very intentional. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I think of my own life, the relationships that I feel went well were when I was able to spend the night with people, actually. I know people here don't spend the night as much, but what I'm saying is just having good quality time, getting to spend time with somebody, knowing them. And a lot of my relationships turned around, you know, when I was able to spend some good quality time out of the scheduled time. So, you know, and sharing a meal usually works, you know, but that would be my suggestion. Make time outside of your life team activities and be very intentional in just getting to know the people that you lead so that we can eventually get to that point where we share life with them and the affection will come up.
And so the next quality is reciprocation. Reciprocation. So by reciprocation, what we're talking about here is two-way relationships. There is a model of leadership that says that the leader is supposed to ask personal questions of the person they lead. The person who is being led is expected to open up about their life and share sensitive details. But the leader is not expected to do the same. The leader does all the correcting. The follower does all the confessing. The leader does all the rebuking. The follower does all the repenting. That model of leadership exists, but that is not a biblical model. It's not a Jesus model. It's not a good shepherd model. And we find here in Matthew 26, which is up on the screen, verse 37 and 38, Jesus took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled, and he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." At this point, as we see Jesus, do we get the sense that he felt that he was above being vulnerable with the people that he led? That they needed to share their vulnerability with him, but he did not need to show them his vulnerability? Not in the least. Is Jesus putting on a brave face so that those he leads get the impression that he's got it all together? Well, in a sense, Jesus had it all together because he was Jesus. But this was a time of struggle for him. And he made that struggle open and clear to those he led. That's what we're talking about, reciprocation, a two-way relationship. Yes, the person that we lead, yes, of course they need to be open and share from their life. And so do we. Because more than being leaders, we are all disciples.
Openness begets openness. And, you know, I think maybe we are very aware of this, maybe when we're doing the sin study and you know that, okay, I need to share my life so that this person can also share. But this is just something that we need to be able to practice, even with the people we work with. Generally, of course, one needs to be wise. When I look at the Bible, I think of the relationship between David and Jonathan. And to me, it, for some reason, I know sometimes I make my own funny connections that Rayola doesn't even understand, but to me, it's an example of, reciprocation, because initially I feel like Jonathan really valued the relationship more than David. But when David was on the run from Jonathan's dad, Saul, basically it turned around and David now was the one who really valued that relationship. And, you know, when I think of reciprocation, it reminds me of a time when we had just come back from the mission, Rayola and I, and I was given two young sisters from the campus ministry to disciple. And at first, you know, we were all excited, you know, we are new, we are working together. And for us, we were adjusting to being back to Kenya. You know, we were trying to settle down. We were trying to balance things in our house. And, you know, I remember going to meetings and, you know, there were goals and the goals. Sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. I was listening to the goals that were being set now for the campus ministry, because these sisters have been in the campus ministry a little longer and they were very excited. And I'm thinking, wow, these were the days when they would give you goals. I'm thinking, wow, these goals kind of sound high to me, but I'm like, maybe I'm the one who just needs to get with the program. So there was just a lot going on in my life. And, you know, I wasn't also really talking about it. Now, needless to say that it wasn't going well with the discipling, even with the two sisters. I think I was just caught up in trying to fix things and not really taking care of them the way I needed to. So basically, one of them had even gone back to the person who discipled me and said, you know, she doesn't want me to disciple her anymore. And so I remember a conversation with the second one, and we sat down and we were talking. And I don't know, I just decided to pour out my heart to her. And this is somebody I'm supposed to be discipling, and it's a younger person. So I remember just telling her how I felt so stressed and overwhelmed with everything. And years later, actually she told me that was going to be her last discipling time with me as well, because the other one had gone to say she didn't want me to disciple her anymore. And even her, she had decided it wasn't working. But in that one conversation where she just felt she got to know what was going on with me. I think she felt sympathy and felt she could relate. That was basically the turning point. And of course, later on, we were able to work it out, and it really went well. We really became very good friends after that. But I just feel like, okay, as a person, I know I can be very businesslike, but my advice is, if you're working with your people, you know, the one thing I can say I learned from that is just listen, listen, and listen. And listen without passing judgment. If, as much as you can, when you're getting with somebody, just listen and try and get their heart. But the other thing is also make a decision to share very vulnerably from your own life. It makes people relate with you and connect with you and just feel safe. And that just really helps the relationship.
Wonderful. So we're coming down to the fourth of the fourth qualities that we wanted to share. I hope that everybody's still awake, still with us. And the fourth is empathy. So we'll wrap up with empathy. Empathy is defined in different ways. One is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. Sometimes, at least it's happened to me, there can be a tendency to pull the trigger and tell those we lead what they need to do differently or what they're not doing right. When perhaps what they need at that point is not another lesson on obedience, but an ear that hears, a heart that listens, and a friend who feels the heartbeat of their soul. It says there, Corinthians on the slide. So which one? Okay, that's supposed to be 2 Corinthians 11, verse 29, when the Apostle Paul says, who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? Talk about empathy. This is deep. The Apostle Paul says that when others are weak or in sin, he feels it. He feels with them and he feels for them. He's not distant or disconnected. Instead, as one who empathizes, he feels the heartbeat of their soul. And I know I need to examine myself, because I need to grow in this quality. And so really to wrap this all up together and bring it to a conclusion, if we take the 4 points we've looked at tonight, consistency starts with C, of course. Affection starts with A. You take the R for reciprocation and E for empathy. C-A-R-E spells care. These four qualities embody the Good Shepherd. Let us be those who care. Now, we didn't teach this lesson because you guys don't care. In fact, we feel that you're all caring people, and Georgiana and I actually have a lot to learn from you in this area. We've taught this as a reminder. And so let me just really encourage all of us to continue to pray to God to open our eyes to what we need to grow in as leaders individually. Let's be there. And let's care as good shepherds in this awesome ministry, The Edge.